Craig, happy birthday today to Donna Fargo. I got your headphones. You know, people have your headphones. You can't hear the happiest girl in the whole USA. We're going to make that our opening theme for our show.
I think so. We should open every day with this song. This is such an upbeat, happy tune.
I've been told that I've been kind of grumpy lately, and I thought maybe, you know, sometimes music will just change your whole mood for that.
I bet if you opened up the show 5 days in a row with this song, you'd be grumpy again.
Well, there's a point where something would happen. A little, like, earworm would go through it. I'd be singing that song at noontime today or whatever, and I would just regret it. I think that works because of the little bells, the chiming bells. Craig, we need to get a little bells in here as well, along with the organ. So make the big list of things we need in here. Because it's always good to be prepared. You never know when you might need those sort of things. But somebody who's really up on the preparedness is Tom Kelly, who joins us this morning, Lorain County Office of Emergency Management and Homeland Security. Good morning, Tom.
Morning.
So Craig, why do we have Tom in here today? It looks like it's a beautiful day out here.
Can I ask you one quick question?
Sure.
There's a sign behind you on a window, and we're at the fourth floor. It says, morning show guest exit here only, and that's pointing at the window.
There's an arrow.
I was a little worried.
Well,
but
just depend on how our interview goes today. That's all we can say. It's a little bit of a intimidation factor, I guess.
Thank you.
Sign fell down once, and we just put it back up over there.
So, Tom. You're here to get us ready for winter because we look out the window now. Like Bruce said, it's a beautiful day, but it won't be that way for long. And snow could come anytime.
Right. Last year, we've already had a couple days of snow.
Really?
End of October. Yeah, we had one day where we had the edge of the grass was dusted. Then we had an inch. I think it was October 29th. I usually write it down on our calendars when we get the first one. So that's what I saw this year from last year. So
okay.
We've been lucky, though. I enjoy the 60 degrees when it's this late in the year.
We are on radio. Craig's posting pictures for Facebook. Tom, you've brought some visual aids with us this morning.
I wanted to mention, we're susceptible to snow, obviously. We're not in a snow belt, but anywhere from 30 to 50 inches a year, depending on where you're at in the county. 30 inches up towards Vermilion as you go southeast across the county. When the higher elevations get higher, it gets up into 50 inches. Because there is a secondary snow belt in northern Ohio, and that's far eastern Lorain County, Columbia Township, Grafton Township, Eaton Township, and in Medina, too. So if the winds are more out of the north, we tend to get a little heavier snowfall in those areas, too.
A lot of times, though, in the neighboring county, Erie, Huron County, they have a lot of that blowing snow. You see, they seem to get a lot of those different levels where they tell people, stay off the road.
The confusion levels?
Yeah, exactly like that.
That's exactly why we don't do that around here. The sheriff will put out an advisory, and that's the person who, by decree in the state of Ohio, puts out those advisories. When it first happened, it starts confusing people. Should I go to work? Should I not go to work? And then their employers are upset when they don't show up. So the sheriff, just usually in Lorain County, Sheriff's Committee, puts out an advisory saying just be careful and contact your employer if you think you have trouble getting in. But we won't usually, rarely do one, two, or three.
They came into being just so that people would know not to go out. It seems as though there's more ways for people to know how things are. The communication seems to be a lot more fluid than it used to be.
With the cell phone devices and text messaging, things like that. We even have an application here in the county where you can get weather alerts through the county called WENS. And as soon as they're issued by the Weather Service, it comes right to your cell phone.
You launched that a couple of years ago. Right. How's it going?
Very good. We've got about 70,000 people signed up for it now, individual cell phones, emails, that type of thing. And the last time I looked, in the last 12 months, there's been about 400,000 messages that have gone out through it. And not only does that emergency information and things like that, but the local jurisdictions use it to give information to their law enforcement agency or the fire department, that type of thing, too. So.
Where does your agency fall within this jurisdiction as far as the emergencies, what needs to be done? When are you called to be a part of whatever's going on?
We become the planning agency for the county, or we are by state or Ohio revised code. Every jurisdiction in Lorain County is signed on to us to be their emergency management office. We do all the large-scale planning for emergencies in the county and logistical support, things like that. So if it exceeds the local jurisdiction's capabilities, we're usually called in.
Is there a particular storm or a particular, I guess I want to narrow it down to a storm, that you remember working that was really, really troublesome in your many years as doing this?
Well, we've had two that sticks in my mind. And somewhere, I think it was 94, 95, we had tornadoes in the county. We had four of them, a couple up in the Amherst area and two down in the Grafton Township area. And actually, the fourth one was in North Ridgeville that day. That was pretty busy. And the other one was when Sandy came through here, Hurricane Sandy, when we had almost 90 mile an hour winds off of Lake Erie, and the waves were 25 feet on the lake. There were sections of the county, especially in the northern area, that the power was out for 2 weeks. That was a challenge.
How about winter? Any real winter?
For those of us that are a little older, remember the 77, 78 winter where, you know, our average snowfalls, maybe and a heavy snow is 48 inches. But at that time, we had over 2 feet. If you remember right at midnight, it was 60-some degrees in this area, and by 6 o'clock in the morning, it was in the teens. And I remember that because I was a volunteer firefighter at that time, and I happened to be off from my full-time job that day, and we were out searching cars on the highways because people were abandoning everything and trying to go to stay at people's houses just at where they stopped.
I just remember shoveling the driveway at my house, my parents' house at that time.
There were areas that when the National Guard was called in to help clean the roads that they used bulldozers to open up, especially like roads like Murray Ridge and West Ridge out in the southeast or southwest side of Elyria, where they had a tunnel through to get the roads open.
Well, we've had, like last year, it was sort of non-existent in a sense.
There's an abundance of road salt. Most of the jurisdictions contract for road salt, and they take so much every year, and now they had a issue of where to put it, because a second load this year is coming, and like I said, we had like a third of the snowfall I think we normally had last year compared to what we normally have.
Right. Well, Craig went and visited the high-tech machines, the snowplow from ODOT as well.
Right.
So technology has helped us as well. If we had another storm like that, would we still be as crippled? I mean, is it kind of like if you get that much snow, there's really no movement, or do you have problems because of more population than there were and how people are getting around?
Well, I hope people will be a little more smarter with the new advancements of phones and things like that and stay home. Probably back at that time, you know, the word didn't get out other than watching television or listening to radio. That was it.
Right.
And people went to work and that type of thing and got stranded. And because that was the time in the morning at 6 o'clock in the morning when it really hit, and they were driving to work, and within an hour, it was impassable.
Right. Once you're out in it, you can't really turn. You just kind of go get through it.
The old General Motors plant here in Elyria, people, I believe, died in the parking lot. There's a couple of people in cars that died because they froze it and they couldn't get out of the parking lot.
Wow. Yeah. Well, these are things, obviously, we hope to kind of prevent. Now, and sort of a simpler level, and people think, well, these sort of larger events may not happen. What are some of the things people can do sort of just on the small scale? Because things could be happening at your home or things like this during the wintertime.
The biggest thing in driving is, and I remember working when I worked communications at the Sheriff's Department at first snow, is slow down. Give yourself ample room between the car in front of you and you, especially like three times the distance, because people forget that once you push those brakes on and you lose traction, off the car goes. And I remember we'd have four times the normal amount of accidents, and most of them were assured clear distance, which means somebody slipped and ran in the back of somebody else. So that's probably your biggest thing, is slow down. And if you don't have to go somewhere, stay home until the roads get better.
Right. And as you mentioned technology, there's a lot of sort of, without shutting down business, you know, economy has to still go through. A lot of times maybe technology can help us. But we don't know then what would happen with some of the infrastructure when related to weather.
Exactly. And ODOT and the road departments have gotten so much better. I've noticed that in the last 5 years, how fast they're out there. And especially ODOT, now they have those snowplows with the wings on the side where they can do two lanes at one time versus one.
What do you think about the green flashing lights? Are you used to those yet, or are they still something?
I knew you were going to ask me that. It's kind of ironic because nationally, a flashing green light or strobe light in emergencies is the designation for a command post where it's set up. And our mobile command post has a green flashing light on it. And some of these fire chiefs that have their car that sits on scene, if you look on the back corner of it, there's a flashing green light. And that designates the spot. So it's sort of ironic when I see those six command posts going down the road on Route 2, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning because he's that yellow flash
right.
back and forth. But it's supposed to be better for visibility. I would imagine that's why they pick green for a command.
Sure.
So it's sort of interesting.
It's not interesting. Well, it's different that you don't see normally you see lights at a certain eye level because right. of the vehicles, but these are so huge. There's these things that are up there in the air, especially if the wind is blowing and the snow is going. You just sort of seeing them come out of the darkness.
And I agree. I think they are more visible, especially when they're coming at you.
Right.
I saw them yesterday. They were doing some road work out near Middle Ridge and Route 2, and the yellow and green flashing was pretty predominant from a distance away.
Anything to get you to move out of their way to allow them to get through.
Give them some room, correct.
But you don't like them. You don't like those colors.
I don't like them. I just always, I never get, I'm not used to them, which is maybe a good thing because it indicates that I'm paying attention to them. I don't just not see them as well. But we talked about beef jerky and granola earlier.
Right. You think we ought to have beef jerky and granola in our cars?
Well, it's a good idea.
Right? Isn't there some sort of, it's like a blanket?
Blanket, gloves, a hat, that type of thing. Couple blankets. I said blankets already.
Two blankets is not
Yeah, two
bad.
Blankets better than one.
Right.
That type of winter safety kit in your car. A shovel, some maybe kitty litter, that type of thing that gets you some traction if you get stuck. But probably the biggest thing is don't, if you happen to get stuck in a very heavy snow, don't leave your car and try to walk, especially if you don't know the area, because you can get lost. You know, blowing snow, you get out in the areas you talked about, Erie and Huron counties, you get out in the middle of nowhere and you can get turned around and not know where you're at.
So the idea is that your vehicle is maybe your safest, is the safest place.
Stay in a car.
Okay.
And now what's good now is you can, you know, 25, 30 years ago, you couldn't communicate out of your vehicle unless you had a CB radio. But right. now everybody, just about everyone has a cell phone. So, and plus there's a GPS setting on there and they can pretty much find you. Well, if you dial 911, I know our office, a 911 office, if you dial it, it'll pretty much triangulate where you're at within about 60 feet.
What?
Yes. Big Brother.
Did you hear that? Right. Within 60 feet.
Well, sure. That's the price you pay to be able to communicate. People have to know where you are or able to say.
And speaking of that, you mentioned command center earlier. Do you still have your big vehicle? What
yes,
do you call
do.
That? What do you?
Mobile command post.
Yeah.
And communications unit.
Does it have a nickname?
You
can't say it on radio.
Well,
yeah, I understand.
It's, well, Tom's bus. No, it's, but anyway, it's the big green and white thing. That's usually basically what we just call it.
Okay.
But it was out. We had it out on Friday, an incident in Sheffield Lake. So.
Right.
Now, in your title of the Lorain County Office of Emergency Management and Homeland Security, how much dealing is there with the Homeland Security? And does that change? You get new administrations in these appointed positions. What kind of political, I don't know, mire do you get into sometimes?
After 9/11, we were bombarded with things we had to do. And now that most of that stuff is in place, it's just routinely updating that type of thing. But every once in a while, they'll send us something and says, watch out for this, watch out for that. But there's also a lot of initiatives going on, like with the health department and other departments like that, where we have to, I'll give you an example for the health department. They have to have the capability, we assist them with this, is in the event that there was an attack on the United States with smallpox or anthrax, things like that, we have to have the capability to give everybody drugs and inoculation, pills, whatever, within 48 hours, the entire population of the county. And those plans are in place, and that's part of the Homeland Security initiative that we were involved in. And they actually practice that when they do these flu clinics that you hear them doing. In the background, that running is, it would be running just as if we had to do a mass inoculation for the county.
We heard that a little bit from Dave Koval related to that, where they wanted to see if they have many people getting flu shots, which takes care of one thing, but in essence, it's kind of like a run-through for
exactly.
if this was for another kind of inoculation.
And then we actually, every year, the health departments in the county, of course, as the first of the year, there'll be one health department in the county. The emergency responders are the first people to get the inoculation of the drug, so they actually practice that with Skittles. They divide them all up, and they have a receiving area, and the departments come in and take those Skittles out and then disperse them to their department so we can make sure that that's capable, because those people have to be the first responders to have to go out in this stuff if it happens. So they're the first people.
You use the social media to let people know, communicate, talked about with the cell phones, with that. What about to just sort of monitor other things? I still remember the one time when we had a health commissioner talking about how the use of like Twitter and stuff where people communicate about illnesses or something, they can sort of figure out how things are spread or where things are happening.
Right. We actually have county has an emergency operations center in our basement, and we're now working on putting a social media monitoring person in there. It's good thing, bad thing. I know, remember a few years back that we had a natural gas issue in Elyria where there was it was very, very cold outside, and because of the usage of gas, the pressure dropped, and we couldn't supply everybody. Right. And we had issues with that because on social media, they were telling people, you can just turn your gas back on as soon as it it'll work, but you can't do that because they have to purge the air out of the lines. That type of thing could cause an explosion. So we found that on social media, and we got out there and told people, don't do that.
Right. You actually had to have, as they say, boots on the ground, door-to-door kind of stop.
Yeah, a technician from Columbia Gas had to go to every home. And I believe there were 8,000 or 9,000 businesses and homes that had to be visited.
Tom, sometimes I see you talked about the homeland security aspect.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen border patrol cars every now and then. Do you have any dealings with them?
No, that's the federal level. They just, within the last couple of years, built a brand-new office up in Catawba Island, and I believe they have at least 40 officers up there because we're vulnerable. We're in the north coast of Ohio, and they work the area between, I believe it's Detroit and Erie, Pennsylvania. I think they're responsible for that area. You'll see them on Interstate 90 and Route 2 a lot.
Speaking this morning with Tom Kelly from the Lorain County Office of Emergency Management and Homeland Security. If people want to get on that WENS?
WENS, WENS. That's an acronym for another word.
Well, sure. Well, it took over news and mixed it up again, right? How do they go about doing that so that
you can call our office, but we suggest that you go, if you have a computer, go to the county commissioner's website, which is www.loraincounty.us. The homepage that comes up right there on the homepage, there's a little box that says sign up for emergency alerts. You click on it, and it'll take you 2 minutes to do it.
And those alerts can come to you in different ways, whether it's
You can do email, text messaging. It'll do by voice if you don't have a capability of reading a text message or have hearing issues, that type of thing, or sight issues, I mean. And you can sign up for a lot of different things. You can click different jurisdictions. If you have a son that lives in Wellington, you want to see what's going on there, you can click on that, too, if you live in Elyria. And you can pick whatever weather alert you'd like to.
So rather than just where your home is, because if you have a workplace you go to or there's a place you travel through or different things you
want. Right, and you can click on every, if you want to get every message from every jurisdiction, you can do that.
And it's beyond just weather related, right?
Yeah, okay. We just put out a thing Friday that we offer an emergency preparedness manual for free that we give out. And we sent out an email to everyone and we got about 300 responses that wanted books.
So. Now I have one that sometimes I have road issues too. Is that maybe through?
Yes.
Is that through that? Too?
Right. I just recently, the city of Avon was doing some work on Chester Road, I think it was, and said, try to avoid the area between 3 and 5 o'clock because we're going to be doing paving. And they sent it out to the Avon jurisdiction.
Okay. So just people be a little more informed, just to sort of know what's going on. And it's a way to just keep being prepared. So that's why we thought we'd have you in this morning to talk about that.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate you coming in as well and bringing that. Now, bringing the colorful map of all the snow levels there, Craig.
It does look scary.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Like I said, once you get to the higher elevations of Columbia and that type of area, that's where we get the most snow in the county.
So. That's true. You probably have.
I don't like when you get the maroons out here in Ashtabula, where it's 120 plus inches.
Right. They don't put those in the welcome wagon kits that they hand out to the new residents. Welcome to the purple area. Thank you.
Why do people move there? I don't know.
Well, it's beautiful in the summertime.
Oh, yeah.
And other places like that.